Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. And we're focusing on the intensifying COVID crisis this week as more Florida towns and counties have passed rules requiring the wearing of masks in public. These orders come as the state is experiencing a spike in new coronavirus infections and an increase in the number of hospitalizations because of COVID. Now, just before we went on the air this Friday, the state announced it was immediately suspending drinking alcohol at all bars across Florida. And nearly 9,000 people tested positive in just the past day. That's almost twice the previous daily record high. Close to 35,000 people across Florida have tested positive for the virus in the last week. That's about 11% of all tests. More areas are responding this week to the pandemic by ordering people to wear masks. But Governor Ron DeSantis so far has resisted a statewide rule.
There's an enforcement that has to follow in that, and we have a lot of places in Florida where that would not be a good use of resources. So I think the approach where it's more tailored to the circumstances make more sense.
The lone Democrat in the Florida cabinet, meantime, Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried, has been critical of the governor's handling of the pandemic. On Thursday this week, she called for a statewide mask order.
Everybody should be wearing masks. You know, we all know that the masks are not going to stop the spread, but it certainly will slow it down. We also need to reinforce that COVID is not behind us. So everybody needs to stay vigilant. Everybody needs to continue having social distancing.
From Key West to the Panhandle, several Florida cities and counties now require face masks in public. Leon County's mask rule went into effect early Thursday morning. Brian Deloche is the county commission chair there.
If it's under a roof, you're wearing a mask.
So here you go, Florida. We want to know, do you live in an area where you have to wear a mask in public? How do you feel about that? Are you keeping your distance from people when you go out? Are you watching the infection rates in your community? Do you know someone who's tested positive? Has COVID affected your life? Give us a call now, 305-995-1800. Tweets to @FloridaRoundup.
Yeah, wondering if you had been planning to go to your favorite watering hole this evening for a cocktail during happy hour, but now perhaps those plans are on hold. Have you been out to a bar? Do you work in hospitality? Let us know, 305-995-1800. We're going to start by visiting many corners of the state to begin this hour and hear what the rules are, how people and businesses are operating during this reopening, and the latest figures on the virus and what those figures tell us. We'll begin in South Florida. Wilkin Brutus is the Palm Beach County reporter for WLRN. Wilkin, welcome back to the Roundup. Good to have you here. Big news out of Palm Beach County this week where the county commissioners mandated masks. What does this rule require now?
Well, yeah, they require masks or face coverings in all buildings like restaurants and grocery stores. The emergency order, though, expires July 24th unless it's extended. Mayor Dave Kerner said he wants to see how this emergency order works before entering the next phase in the economic reopening plans.
Video clips of the commission meeting this week have made all the rounds. Late night comedians had quite an evening with it, made the rounds on social media. Let's listen to some of what the commissioners had to hear from the public.
We will get together and do a citizen's arrest on every single human being that goes against the freedom of choice.
Congress is where laws are made. They have to write a bill. That bill has to also go through the Senate. You cannot just make laws. That is unconstitutional. That is not how we run this country as a republic.
Because I take a medication that makes me immunocompromised, I also have breathing problems. Mask is not an option for me.
I haven't worn a mask yet. I'm not wearing it today. Besides, despite what you guys do up here today, I'm not wearing one tomorrow. I was born free. I will stay free. My rights come from God, not from you. I'm not wearing it. You're going to have to hold me down and put it on me.
Wilkin, you were monitoring this meeting remotely. What was the reaction or impact on commissioners of these comments?
Yeah, so it was quite intense. Commissioner Melissa McKinley pushed back against some of those assertions from the public, saying that she received more support for masks, that seatbelts and speed limits are similar mandates that keep the public safe. And Palm Beach County Mayor Dave Kerner and the county's health director Dr. Elaine Alonzo, essentially said that public safety is the number one priority over economic reopening because the surge is a major concern. And that's despite Mayor Koerner's reaching out to the Governor DeSantis about the next phase of reopening.
Wilkin, the infection rate in Palm Beach County reported today is 10.8% of tests that were reported today by the State Department of Health came back as positive for coronavirus. What's the stage of reopening in Palm Beach County?
Well, it looks like they are withholding information right now in terms of reopening the account of the county. They do want to make sure that the rates are going down. Right now, Dr. Elaine Alonzo said the death rate continues to go down, but she says we have to be cautious because it may be a lag factor, and that in terms of hospitalization, Palm Beach County has the capability to treat all patients without the surge capacity. So that's essentially good news. But with the positivity rate rising and the fact that positive cases in ICUs have gone up and the total COVID admissions have gone up, they are pausing reopening the economy.
Wilkin Brutus, the WLRN Palm Beach County reporter, with us via FaceTime audio. Thanks, Wilkin.
Thank you.
We're whipping around the state now as we go to the Tampa St. Pete area and check in with Mary Shedden, news director at WUSF. Hi, Mary. Thanks for being with us. You know, there are different rules across your area, Tampa St. Pete, for mask wearing. What are you seeing there?
Well, it's an absolute quilt of mandates and recommendations. Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco counties all are saying you have to wear a mask if you're in a business or if you're working in a business. However, Polk County, Manatee County, Sarasota County, all are saying there's no mandate. They just post on their websites the recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That being said, cities like Sarasota County isn't doing anything, but Sarasota City is going to vote on it on Monday. It's really hard to know where people are. Depending on where you are, you will have to put on a mask or take off a mask. It's not really consistent at all in the Tampa Bay area.
So that lack of consistency, it sounds like, is leading to a lot of confusion and debate over the idea of mandating it.
Right, right. And I sat in on a Pinellas County Commission meeting just the other day, and the comments from the citizens, they sat for 4 hours listening to citizen comments, much like you heard in Palm Beach County, and it's really, really divisive. And it basically errs on the side of if you're for leaning on the side of prevention versus rights and personal rights. The Hillsborough County Health Department director just spoke yesterday, and he said masks do not work 100% of the time, but they do help 100% of the time.
Sure. And as we're seeing single-day records being broken in Florida, 9,000 new COVID cases in just the last 24 hours, and the state essentially just a few minutes ago shutting down all Florida bars once again to stop the spread. In your area, Hillsborough, Pinellas counties, more COVID testing sites are going up, correct?
Right, right. So we have been seeing incredible demand for sites from Sarasota, St. Petersburg, and Tampa. All were seeing sites closing before noon all week long because there were just too many people. The governor was here yesterday, and he announced that we're opening a new site at Tropicana Field, home of the Tampa Bay Rays, but no details are out about that yet. There's just so much demand, don't know where to go. It's kind of a minute-by-minute situation where people are trying to find a place where they don't have to sit in line for hours on end.
You know, we're seeing that all over the state, just this increased demand just in the last week or two to get tested for COVID. It's interesting to get different perspectives on this from across the state. But in general, the narrative seems to be a similar one wherever we check in around Florida. We're going to continue that here. And I want to thank you, Mary Shedden. She's news director at WUSF in Tampa St. Pete area. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Brendan Byrne is a reporter at WMFE Public Media in Orlando. Brendan, welcome back to the roundup.
Thanks,
Orange County put that mask rule in place last week. What has the past week been like with facial coverings in Orange County?
Yeah, it's still too early to tell if there's been an impact on the numbers because of this, as you mentioned, this window effect on Saturday. But generally, there hasn't been many issues with the adoption of the masks. There have been some protests, but generally folks have been following the order. The issue with that was brought up at some earlier meetings this week was that there is no enforcement of this order, right? So the mayor of Orange County has relied on, basically, he said, peer pressuring folks into wearing their masks and not, you know, patronizing businesses that don't enforce the rules right now.
I was going to ask you about enforcement because that's a question that the governor has been brought up or has been brought up when criticized for not putting a statewide mask order in place. In the city of Miami, just on Thursday, the city okayed a new ordinance which would allow a fine of several hundred dollars after three or more citations of people not wearing a mask in public. So how is Orange County in the Orlando area talking about dealing with enforcement?
Like I mentioned, they're relying on kind of this peer pressure thing. They've got a marketing campaign going, you know, for folks to hashtag do your part and all that. But I think with Orange County, this was an executive order. So this wasn't like from the way that other counties have done it through, you know, councils and whatnot. So right now, I think they're waiting.
Brendan, hold on the line. Matt from Orange County is with us right now. Matt, you've been out and about. What are you seeing?
Yeah, just a disturbing lack of mask wearing. Going out to my local grocery store, you know, I take this quite seriously, and you know, don't want to get sick or anyone else sick. And I think at this point, it's just a kind of Darwinism, you know, survival of the smartest at this point.
Matt, thanks for that perspective, sharing it with us from Orange County. Brendan Byrne with WMFE, the county court system recently announced it's going to take a step back in reopening. Beginning on Monday, what's the status of the reopening area around Orlando?
Yeah, this was pretty interesting. So before news of this alcohol order that we got, you know, within the last hour, you kind of saw this self-governance up here. You know, bars and breweries, a lot of them closed after hearing that either a patron or employee had tested positive. Others realized how difficult it would be. My favorite brewery in town decided to close even before having any positive cases, just realizing, hey, we cannot do this safely. We're seeing people are still heading to restaurants here, but you know, from the folks that we're talking about, it's not like it used to be. They're not getting it as busy, and a lot of these places are switching to go just out of caution.
Yeah, Brendan, I know you're a home brewer. I thought your favorite brewery was just down the hallway. But nevertheless, in all seriousness, what about the theme parks, though? Universal reopened. Disney still has plans to reopen in a couple of weeks.
That's right. So Universal and SeaWorld both opened with restrictions on capacity and a mask requirement. But it's been quite empty. Much so we're hearing about layoffs at Universal, likely due to a decline in revenue. Disney, as you mentioned, is having a scaled opening. They're opening two parks at a time throughout the month of July. They've got this reservation system set up, mask requirement, strict cleanings. You know, pass holders I spoke with, including myself, were excited about the opening, but as these numbers begin to rise, you're starting to see that excitement die down. There's a lot more apprehension about going back to Disney, and so much so that workers at Disney have started a petition to even delay the opening because they're concerned for their safety moving forward.
And is the reopening still on the calendar? July 11th, I think it was, for Disney. Is that right?
July 11th is the first phase, so there are two parks will open then. That it's still on the calendar. The reservation system is set to open. And another thing is Disney is hosting both NBA and MLS seasons at its Wide World of Sports, which is the sports complex here as well. So it seems to be, all indications are that they are moving forward and will continue with that.
Brendan Byrne, reporter with our partner station, Public Radio, WMFE in Orlando. Thanks, Brendan.
You got it, Tom.
Let's go now to Sky LeBron with WJCT in Jacksonville. Sky, Mayor Lenny Curry is the only large city Florida mayor thus far not to call for a mask mandate. Why not?
Yeah, the main reason why has all been regarding, in his perspective, enforcement. He says he doesn't know how it's going to be enforced, and he's relying on strong suggestions. But got to say, when you go out in public, been going to the store, the gas station, and you're in the minority if you're wearing a mask up here, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. How much of this is being driven by the mayor's efforts to land the Republican National Convention in Jacksonville? A new poll put out this week by UNF showed more than 60% of residents in Jacksonville don't want the convention. They're worried that it could spread COVID. But there will not be required mask wearing at this event.
Yeah, it's kind of unclear what is going to be the precautions before this big RNC event. Mayor Curry already talked about how there will be temperature checks and there is going to be precautions in place, but he won't go into specifics yet. Frankly, I don't think he knows exactly what it is going to be. And he also says August is a long time away, so it's hard to make rules and regulations for right now when it's something that's a month and a half.
At the same time, as we noted at the top of the hour, the state has essentially shut down Florida bars. No more alcohol being served at bars, effective right now to slow the spread of COVID. In Jacksonville, Mayor Curry said code enforcement will be cracking down on establishments that aren't following guidelines. I guess that's now just down to restaurants, since bars have essentially been closed.
Yeah, and with the whole 50% capacity right now, he's saying that code enforcement will be going into businesses and checking these places out to make sure that they are following those regulations. And if you don't, then you could have your food and alcohol license revoked, which I guess in this case, it's like you said, it's only going to be food now because of what has just been put in place.
And that could change, too. We'll have to watch it closely. At the same time, as we've been hearing from other cities around the state, Sky, there's a rapid increase in demand for testing in Jacksonville. What are we seeing at the testing sites here?
Well, I must say there is a ton of testing in Jacksonville. The Lot J site, which is located at the Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium near downtown, that has been absolutely slammed for the last couple days. There's been a line around nearly the entire stadium, and then they have to kind of create a runoff line to the side to make sure that people are still able to stay in line without blocking off too much traffic. It's just been absolutely loaded, and that's resulted, of course, in a spike of cases. Today, we've seen the most in Duval County with 447 positive cases.
And we're still having trouble getting accurate numbers from local hospitals about who's being treated in ICU. That's been an issue around the state. Lots of tweets, meanwhile, coming into Florida Roundup. Here's one from Zach. Yes on a mask mandate for Florida. He says it is literally the bare minimum of what we should be doing. Those are the kinds of tweets we're getting here right now on the Florida Roundup as we discuss a single day record being shattered in new COVID cases. And also, we learned just before we took to the air at noon, the state's Department of Business and Professional Regulation has shut down alcohol sales at restaurants statewide as a way to try to slow the spread of COVID-19. We are going to go to some calls in a little bit here on the Florida Roundup. Already getting lots of you waiting to talk at 305-995-1800. But Sky LeBron, certainly here in Jacksonville, it's going to be an interesting couple of months leading up to the Republican convention in the context of this pandemic.
And also looking at the surrounding counties throughout Northeast Florida, you know, there is a lot of talk about how they had to look for hotel capacity in Nassau County and counties just to the south. So it's not just going to be Duval County and Jacksonville, but the entirety of Northeast Florida that could be affected by this convention.
Lots to talk about. If you're just tuning in, it's the Florida Roundup as we look at the intensifying COVID crisis here in Florida, with single-day case records being shattered and the state just now reacting and essentially shutting down Florida bars once again. Give us a call. We'll get to your thoughts after the break. It's 305-995-1800. Tweets to @FloridaRoundup. This is the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for joining us. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami, talking about the latest COVID-19 data in the state of Florida. Over 8,900 Floridians testing positive for the virus, according to the latest data out just before noon here today on this Friday. And the state moving for regulations to end on-premise sales of alcohol at bars statewide. Previously, bars had been allowed to reopen at 50% through most of the state of Florida. So this is a bit of a retreat for the state as it is experiencing this spike in cases. 305-995-1800. Also talking about the mask orders that have been put in place at various communities, including in Tallahassee, well, in Leon County, to be more exact. Bill is joining us in Tallahassee. Bill, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, we appreciate you. I mean, kind of a quandary. Like I say, Leon County's imposed the mandatory mask, yet at the same time, I hold a Florida concealed weapons permit. And by law, under that permit, I cannot wear any kind of mask. So I'm kind of in a quandary. Do I value the license more, or do I worry about the mask? Any results from not wearing the mask?
Interesting quandary there in Tallahassee. How are you going to address it if you need to go out, Bill?
I don't know. I'm still debating. But, you know, I think at this point I value my license more than I'm concerned about having to wear a mask.
All right. Bill, thanks for joining us here on the Florida Roundup.
305-995-1800. Juan is in Palmetto Bay. Hey, Juan, happy Friday to you. Go ahead.
Happy Friday. Thank you, Melissa and Tom. I just wanted to comment. I work down in South Dade, South Miami, South Florida, from Palmetto Bay all the way down to the Florida Keys. And I have observed during my work hours, many people in the tourist area as you go towards the Keys, they're just not, and they're tourists, they're just not using any masks. And either they have it on the side or they just make pretend they're using it. It's really concerning, and it's as if they don't care for other people or respect at least the other people.
Do you wear a mask, Juan?
Absolutely. I'm required, and even if I wasn't required, I would wear it because I'm thinking about not on my by myself, but for everybody else.
And do you feel that the governor should mandate mask wearing for Florida or not?
I think it should go even higher than the governor. This is all the way to the president. It should be something that it's for the welfare of the people. It's not a political issue, in my opinion. It's just a health issue. And even you may have some reservations about health, even your gun. It should be about health.
Juan, thanks for the call. That's Juan in Palmetto Bay.
We got a tweet here from RN Sailor who writes us, I am an RN, registered nurse. I wear a mask. I've been told I am a sheep for wearing one, and the virus is a hoax. I refuse to eat inside a restaurant. Takeaway, rarely. That's at Florida Roundup if you want to add your voice there, or the voice line, 305-995-1800. David is up next in Gainesville. Go ahead, David. You're on the radio.
Hey there. Yeah, so in Alachua County where I live, we've had a mask mandate for all stores for a while now, but it's just not being enforced. And I don't really blame the people in the stores for lack of enforcing it, because there are all these horror stories of people getting shot, employees getting assaulted or spit on.
I've seen some assaults and spitting. I haven't seen anybody getting shot.
Well, there's a guy at Dollar General, I think, in the Midwest who was actually shot.
Okay, not in Florida here. Okay.
No, not in Florida. But okay. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of fear, and that's a lot to shoulder on employees, like to make them be the ones to enforce this thing. There should be some mechanism by which, I don't know, some state authority, you know, sort of enforces it and says, you know, this is how it has to be, because it's just too much to put on employees.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've seen here in South Florida, in the city of Miami, for instance, David and Melissa, just yesterday on Thursday, the city commission approving fines, some pretty significant fines for repeat offenders for not wearing a mask, which is mandatory at all times in the city of Miami when you're out in public. And yeah. I think the fines can be $150 or more for repeat offenders.
St. Augustine, just south of Jacksonville, just moments ago, passed a mask ordinance. The commission there voted 4-0 with fines up to $500, Tom, and that goes into effect Saturday. And so, yes, we're seeing local governments around Florida respond to this. Lots of calls, meanwhile, here on the Florida Roundup. Angel is in Orlando. Hi, Angel.
Hello. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling. Go ahead. What are your thoughts about all this?
Yes, I am a retired college professor. I have a master's in biology and a PhD in education. I am retired, and the reason I said that is only for my background. But this is not going to work the work we are doing it. There's so many different views and opinions and ideas. It's not going to work. The only way that I could see this getting improved is that maybe we should all go into hibernation for 15 days, but it has to be the same exact day. Everybody has to go on the same exact day for 15, 20 days, and that's the only way we're going to be able to do something with it.
What do you think about the idea of a mandate for masks?
No, but it doesn't work.
But that's not true. Universal mask wearing in other countries has slowed the virus to a crawl or almost to nothing. It hasn't been effective.
Oh, no. I agree with that. I have five masks in my car.
Uh-huh.
What I am saying is that some people are not going to obey. It doesn't matter. People are not going to obey, no matter if they are mandated, if they are forced, if they are. Some are not going to do it. That's why I say it's not going to work.
All right, Angel. Thanks for the call. And you know, Tom, certainly those that have been against this idea have argued that enforcement is difficult. People will counter that by saying, well, we mandate a lot of things that don't have universal enforcement. But if enough people feel they need to do it, it can bend the curve. So those are the arguments we're hearing today.
Yeah, Dr. Cindy Prinz joins us now, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at the University of Florida. Dr. Prinz, thanks for your time today here on the Florida Roundup. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So you heard the conversation there from all across Florida about masks and enforcement and wearing them. How do you hear that as an epidemiologist?
Yeah, I mean, as an epidemiologist, number one, I agree 100% that we need to be wearing masks. Ideally, I would love for that to just be people opting to do that on their own because they, you know, have an understanding that it's the best way to protect themselves against getting COVID and prevent it from being spread to other people. But I think we're also at a point where, you know, we don't necessarily have the time to educate and move people the way we would normally like to toward acceptance. And so I think that mandates are really important now because we've got to control this virus.
What do you make of the trend that Florida has experienced over the past week, for instance? 35,000 new positive infections reported. That's an 11% infection rate by my back of the envelope math in the last 7 days.
Yeah, I'm alarmed at this increasing trend. I mean, if you look at it, you can say that there may be some awareness of people just thinking, I need to go get tested, I may be infected. But we know that this has started as community spread. And no matter where that's coming from, this is the level of disease that you have in a state, in a community. And then there's also the concern that for every case that you know about, there are hidden cases and there's transmission from every case that you know about to other people. And so this trend is just going to keep increasing unless we make a move to stop it.
What data concerns you most as an epidemiologist in the community you live in or statewide that Floridians should keep their eye on?
Well, certainly the overall number of cases is a concern. The fact that we're seeing increasing hospitalizations is also a real concern. You know, you have to understand that when people are ill enough to go to the hospital, that's a severe outcome on its own.
Now, what we've heard, though, from the state is, and we've seen the data, that the median age of those infected has been going down. I think statewide it's now in the mid-30s. Whereas, you know, more than a month or so ago, it was much older than that. That is said as an indication that these people perhaps are healthier and not so vulnerable as an older population is.
Well, and we know that that can be true of that younger population, although I want to point out that they can still get very ill and they can still die. And so we don't want anyone to feel like they're invincible. But the other thing to worry about is as we're seeing transmission within that younger population, they can be bringing it back to their loved ones who are older. And so, you know, that's a real risk factor. We're worrying about people either not knowing they're infected and exposing other people, or even potentially knowing that they're infected and not worrying about it because they don't have symptoms. And then exposure for our older and more vulnerable citizens is going to be an issue.
We're talking with Dr. Cindy Prinz, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at University of Florida. It's 305-995-1800 as we talk coronavirus in the state. Dr. Prinz, what about something that happened this week when the state changed its guidelines for hospitals reporting the use of intensive care beds? Critics of that move say that the state is moving the goalposts. Some even see a conspiracy to tampen down numbers. There's no proof of that, we need to know. But it has been difficult for media outlets to get a real handle on who is in intensive care and get the kind of data that we're trying to share with listeners.
Yeah, that is a consideration because it's something that we do want to know. I want to point out that there is a group that is reporting some of that. So the Miami-Dade COVID Project, they have data online that shows, at least for Miami-Dade County, the counts of hospitalization, the counts of folks who are in the ICU, and then also those who are ventilated. But certainly across the board, we want that information because we know that at least for part of our consideration, we need to know that we're not overwhelming our healthcare system. And that really means, are we overwhelming our ICUs? And are we going to potentially not have respirators and other critical equipment available to take care of people if we have another very large surge?
It's 305-995-1800 to join us here on the Florida Roundup. Here is a tweet from just one of many listeners. Why are they shutting down alcohol sales but not food? Help me with this reasoning, says Brian. Good question. Let's go to Preston in Miami. Hi, Preston. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm actually glad that you guys are talking about this and the sort of comments that were made in West Palm, because some of the other comments that I've been seeing were that a lot of the increased numbers were actually caused by increased testing. And obviously, this is quite absurd to suggest. And since you have the epidemiologist on the show, I just wanted to know if that could be talked about as well.
Yes. Thank you, Preston. Dr. Prinz, certainly increased testing spikes the numbers, but a number of physicians we've talked to in recent weeks say it's a legitimate surge beyond increased testing. Correct?
That's correct, yes. So what we're seeing is certainly in the past 2 days, at least, we've had some increased testing. And, you know, part of the cases we may be seeing may be people who are just seeking out testing because of their own concern. But, this is really transmission within the community. It's not as if we're seeing a large increase in testing that's come from places like nursing homes or prisons that a lot of people want to cite as being a reason for a lot of new cases. These are people who are being tested in the community. There is probably, in a lot of cases, testing going on because of a known risk. But I think we're also now seeing probably some more random testing of people who are just concerned that they may be positive. But, you know, in the end, what you're seeing is just a huge increase in cases. And that's due to that community spread. That's been that, you know, long jump in cases over the past probably 3 weeks or so now.
And you're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.
Dr. Cindy Prinz is our guest now, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at the University of Florida. Dr. Prinz, a tweet here from Janice. Why the panic? 80% testing positive are asymptomatic and no real evidence they can spread. 97% recover. Stay 6 feet away, but breathe air, not CO2, no masks. So how do you respond to Janice?
Well, I would respond to Janice by saying, if you look at the overall number of cases and then also the overall number of deaths, this is severe. And, you know, it may be fine for the people who are asymptomatic, but there's no guarantee that you're going to be asymptomatic, number one. Number two, you can become severely ill with potential consequences of that illness down the line. We're still learning more about what happens to people who are recovering from COVID-19. And then the other thing I would say is that wearing a mask is not breathing your own CO2. These are breathable masks. Our healthcare workers wear them for a very long period of time within the hospital setting while they're caring for these patients who have COVID-19. So I really think that the critical thing to do right now is to wear that mask, socially distance, and limit the activities you're doing.
Yeah, we had another tweet from Levi saying, my thing is surgeons and nurses wear masks all day at work, and then I hear people complain about wearing them for an hour while shopping. Grow up, says the tweet. Erica is visiting Florida from Chicago. Erica, thanks for listening to public radio while you're in the Sunshine State. You're on the radio.
Hi. Yes, thank you so much for having me. I just wanted to talk about the interesting and extremely concerning aspects that I'm seeing as I visit my dad down here. And I've found that people are wearing a lot of masks in Miami, and I'm very grateful for that. But I also noticed that when I look at Chicago, you know, people are dining, and as a person that is in the service industry, it's pretty concerning to see that people are really disregarding the statistics and the incredible uptick of cases that are happening elsewhere. And I wonder if people are going to heed these warnings and see that we really can't open immediately. It's quite dangerous, especially in metropolitan areas.
I'm very familiar with Chicago, having lived there for 20 years, Erica, and I know today on this Friday, the governor is going to another step in the reopening process, while at the same day, a major state agency here in Florida is kind of going backward a little bit by saying to bars that you can no longer sell alcohol on premise. Erica, thanks for joining us. Dr. Prinz, how about comparing and contrasting what you know about kind of the public response to some of these public health measures in Florida versus elsewhere?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in Florida, just as far as the way the public, the people are responding, I feel like we've gotten very complacent. You know, maybe there was that idea that we had modeling that showed that we were going to have a large number of cases, and then we shut down and controlled that. And I just feel like when we opened back up, people took that as a cue to just go back to their normal lives. And I think within the reopening, I would have liked to see those phases be a lot longer. If you think about a phased reopening, you need time to figure out what the risk is and where the problems are going to be. And I don't think we took that time.
Dr. Prinz, we have to leave it there, but we appreciate you sharing some time with us on this Friday on the Roundup. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Cindy Prinz, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at the University of Florida. 305-995-1800, your coronavirus COVID-19 questions to continue. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks again for listening and supporting public media. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. And this Friday, we're talking about the intensifying COVID crisis in Florida and the state's response. We learned today that Florida saw a single-day record in COVID positive cases, nearly 9,000 new cases. And at the same time, we learned just as we were going on the air at noon that the state's Department of Business and Professional Regulation has shut down in-person alcohol sales at bars across Florida. This just happened as the state tries to get a handle on stopping the rapid uptick in coronavirus cases. This what's happening in Florida is happening in a number of other states as well, we need to note, and nationally, COVID cases are shattering one-day records. So we're having a really interesting conversation here on the show about mask wearing, whether or not the state reopened too early, what we need to do to get a handle on this virus. Lots of calls at 305-995-1800. Lots of tweets coming into the show, too. Send us your thoughts at Florida Roundup. Linda is in Boynton Beach. Hi, Linda. Happy Friday. Thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate what you all do.
Sure.
I have actually two comments. One comment is with regard to the public comments that went forward at the Palm Beach County hearing when they decided to mandate the masks, which I'm totally in favor of the masks. And some of the comments were saying that they couldn't pass laws, it was illegal and constitutional and whatnot for them to pass laws. Doing that, and that they're not informed. if they want to be properly informed about that, they can review. It's an old case. It's from, I think, 1905, but it still stands, and it went to the Supreme Court of the United States. And SCOTUS did rule in favor of Massachusetts. It's called Jacobson versus Massachusetts. And that one had to do with vaccines, but the state mandated that people had to have vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the state does have broad powers to regulate public health that way. There have been constitutional questions raised, but you're right about that, Linda. And I want to thank you for the call. That's Linda in Boynton Beach. And as we continue this conversation, right now we're pleased to welcome a physician to the show. It's Dr. Cheryl Holder. She's an internal medicine doctor and associate professor at FIU College of Medicine. Doctor, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, do you believe the governor needs to issue a mask order for Florida?
Based on, you know, I hate the political side because it gets even deeper than the mask order. Based on their Surgeon General Rifkes, who made the recommendation very quietly, and the governor saying the cities can do what they wish, I think at this point every city can speak up and do what's appropriate rather than even waiting on the political side. We shouldn't politicize the mask.
And we are seeing states do that, but as we heard from Tampa St. Pete, it's sort of a patchwork of rules and ordinances depending on where you go, right?
Certainly it is. And I'd like to just deal with the reality that we have mandated seatbelts, we mandated car seats, and that made a huge difference. But even with that, many of the patrons who enter these bars, there are signs that says you can't come in with shorts and you can't wear certain clothes, and everybody abides by it. And that's not even life-threatening. So it illustrates a bigger issue with our society that I hope we can come to terms with, which is why do we refuse the signs? Why is the mixed messaging? Because something as simple as wearing shorts in a bar, everybody will comply.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? And let me ask you, if I could, your concerns. In one day, we've seen 9,000 new COVID cases. The state has shut down alcohol sales. We might see more shutdowns, depending on what we hear from the governor and other officials. As a physician, were you worried that this could happen, that we could see a resurgence?
We're not surprised, because from the very beginning, the messaging has not been clear, concise, and being followed with the science. It has always been told that this is an error, it's spread by droplets. So if this is coming at you as you speak, of course the closer you are, you're going to get exposed. It's spread by if you touch somebody or you touch things. So if you're not socially distancing, you're not washing hands frequently, and you're not protecting your saliva from coming out and somebody else's saliva from coming at you, of course there's high risk of infection. So as a population, when we deny the science and deny the ways to protect ourselves, this is not a surprise. So when we reopened early without the proper messaging, and not just messaging, the modeling of the behavior from all around us, it lets people become very vulnerable to believe what they want to believe. So in many ways, I see it on both sides.
Do you think the state should have kept things locked down longer? Now we're seeing sort of a piecemeal attempt to get a hold of this. Beginning today, you can't buy alcohol in premises at a bar, for example, although restaurants are still open with 50% capacity and the like.
Exactly. The state should have followed the CDC guidelines, which are very clear. They were even very conservative compared to what some other folks had mentioned, but we had not even reached the suppression level as recommended. So the state didn't follow the guidelines. So that's the key, is that how do we follow guidelines across the board? And if we had, for some parts of the state, reopening would have been delayed even more. For other parts of the state, they would have been able to proceed. So the key is, again, is using the science and following the guidelines. As we reopen, we wouldn't have this surge.
Munima is on the line in Orlando. Munima, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I actually wanted to have a comment on an earlier caller. Her name was Janice, and the comment was regarding
why should we wear a mask? And it's like inhaling your own CO2. I'm a physician in Orlando, and I feel that a lot of people think that the mask is just for themselves, and it is a health problem for only themselves.
But yeah, it's to protect others. Yeah, thanks for that. And this is the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Dr. Holder, wearing masks is a way of showing concern for others.
Absolutely. We know it's concern for others, but it's also just basic common sense and epidemiology that we know you wear a mask, the other person wears a mask, you decrease the risk of either of you getting infected. And that's how we will eventually be alive without any of the untoward effects of an infection for the vaccine or proper treatment. And that's what a lot of folks don't understand, because if more and more people get infected, we have more and more deaths when we could avoid this. The data showed that wearing masks can decrease at least 2% nationwide. We have 300 million people. That's about 3 million folks or more. What is that, 10%, 6 million that we could save just by us putting on our mask, standing afar and washing, and try to keep the infection down, because a vaccine will be coming.
Let's hope sooner, as soon as possible.
Probably Dr. Holder,
stay on the line. We want to squeeze in some more calls here. Layla in Miami. Go ahead, Layla. You're on the telephone with Dr. Holder.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a comment. Number one, I totally agree with the mandate. Thank you for the mayors of the different cities, and I do think it should go state and federal on that level. And the second one was that I really find it very unfair towards medical workers who should be expected to, or who are expected to risk, and in some cases lose their lives, to care for people who do not even have the courtesy to protect their lives by just the minor inconvenience of wearing a mask. And lastly, I have a question. What about office buildings that are non-walk-up elevator space, hallways, bathrooms, and office space and enclosed ventilation systems, where oftentimes I have experienced that people are not observing proper COVID hygiene?
Yeah.
And how about that enforcement for those kind of settings?
Thank you. Good question. Sure. Thanks for posing it. Dr. Holder, how are office workers supposed to behave? What are kind of the medical protocols?
The data clearly shows that you have to, even within the office space, maintain the distance. So no elevator should be crowded. Where I work at Jackson, they have the little markers, the little decals in the elevators. Everybody maintains distance. You should take the stairs. It's common sense. You got to stay away. So nobody should rush into an elevator. Even touching the buttons, you should find different ways. Wearing, taking a tissue and touch the button. Mm-hmm. The key is to protect yourself and protect others, because if we're in it together, we will have less death, less people getting sick. And again, I tell folks, we don't know what 10, 20 years down the line will bring if you get this COVID and you're asymptomatic. No one really knows. So our goal really is to avoid infection as long as we can, and we can do it together.
Dr. So Holder, thank you so much. So thank you so much
thank
for,
you.
We'll leave it with those thoughts. Wear your masks, wash your hands, socially distance. Don't become complacent, as we are seeing across Florida, disturbing spikes in positive coronavirus cases. So thank you, Dr. Cheryl Holder. She is an internal medicine doctor and associate professor at FIU College of Medicine, joining us this Friday on the Florida Roundup, as we discussed a momentous day across the state in the news. And that is our show. The Florida Roundup is produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Denise Royal are the producers.
Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, WLRN's Director of Radio Operations, and our technical director this hour is Peter Meritz. We get engineering help each and every week from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Josh Torres. Thanks, fellas. Alexander Gonzalez answers the phones. Our theme music provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Friday at noon. Stay safe this weekend.